remember all the times I tried to tell myself to hold on to these moments as they pass. And it's one more day up in the canyon, and it's one more night in Hollywood. It's so long since I've seen the ocean, I guess I should. Na-na-na-na.
Welcome to Green and Gold Forever. I'm Eric Drews, broadcasting from Appleton, Wisconsin, and we'll be joined shortly here by Matt McLean out in Altoona. And I know that there were millions of disappointed people last night who tuned in to watch the Goldies and instead were shown the Oscars. Tons of celebrities showed up to the wrong award show. It was very embarrassing for not only those individuals, but for America as a whole. Luckily, tonight we're here to present the award show everybody's been waiting for, and that is the 4th annual Goldie Awards. And Matt, before we get to the festivities, this offseason has had a lot of crazy stuff going on, but there's so much weird things to talk about that I think for your and my purposes, I don't really care to comment on any of the Peyton Manning stories. I didn't really watch to see how fast any of the guards ran at the combine this past weekend, so I don't know about you, but this offseason, I've kind of checked out so far.
Yeah, I mean, I've still kind of listened to some of the sports talk and all that, but it's been nothing at all interesting. It's weird. It's like they've run out of stuff to talk about. There's really been no big football news in weeks, mm-hmm. So they just keep talking about the same stuff over and over and over again. So I feel like we haven't missed too much.
Even like the NFL memes page on Facebook, which a lot of fans follow, has just been sharing Steph Curry stuff. It's really
weird. All anybody's talking about.
Yeah, which, you know, is probably better than some of the NFL stuff that's been in the news. So, all right, let's not even waste any more time. Let's get to the Goldies.
How far can Rodgers throw it? Rodgers in trouble. It's going to get there. He turned 32 yesterday. Does he have a vintage moment in him? In the end zone, it is caught for the win. Richard Rodgers with a walk-off touchdown. A game ender for the Packers.
Welcome to the 4th annual Goldie Awards, and I have gotten little sleep over the last basically year. From people trying to call, and we actually this year did a nationwide host search, and we had about 37 different criteria. We brought in scientists. They decided who the best possible host was, taking into account fame, fandom, intelligence, looks, and the person that was chosen as the perfect host of the Goldies was Matt.
Every single year, it's the same thing, and I'm always a little let down that it's not somebody more qualified than myself, but I'm happy to host again.
Well, you're going to get close to a Green and Gold Forever, or a Goldie Lifetime Achievement Award, I think.
Yeah, I should have already.
I mean, you're in Billy Crystal territory with consecutive award show hosting, so that's pretty impressive.
Well, I'm happy to do it.
All right. Well, let's get started. Are you going to read the things?
Yeah. Okay. Great start for the host. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
All right. So I let's see here. I suppose we'll probably want to start at the bottom and work our way to the top.
Sure. That makes sense.
And end with MVP. So let's start down here at, if anybody else wants to follow us along while they're listening here, feel free to pull up the ballot. I'm going to start with number 10 here. So it's the Ministry of Truth Award. Which Packers loss all time would you like to delete from history forever in light of yet another heartbreaking playoff loss? Which Packers loss ever causes you the most pain? So which one's the worst? So Eric, what would you say is yours on this?
So this one obviously was very difficult, and it was inspired by the heartbreak that we had in Arizona this year and the heartbreak we had last year in Seattle. So the Packers, as is well documented, is one of the best teams in history at having heartbreaking playoff losses. And to me, this came down to obviously the NFC Championship game in 2014, the Super Bowl that the Packers lost, and the 2007 NFC Championship game. And I chose the 07 NFC title game. It probably has to do with how much Favre has been positively interacting with the Packers recently, but that is just one of the most bitter games, most I can go back and at least appreciate or see their spot in history. Hopefully someday I'll have that with the NFC Championship game from 2014. But to have Brett Favre's career end at Lambeau Field on an interception in the NFC Championship game, in a game that would have gone down like the Ice Bowl had they been able to win, just, it shouldn't have ended that way. I know thematically and for the narrative of Favre's career, it's almost too perfect that it ended that way, but that one just stung.
Yeah, and that's funny because I said the exact same one, and I know we've talked about this quite a bit on the show before, but it's strange when you look at a, you know, Super Bowl 32, where if you just win that one, you win a Super Bowl, and we don't choose that.
Yeah.
And then in, you know, last year or the year before that, when you lose a playoff game, you think you might have, and maybe not this past season, but if you beat Seattle, you think you got pretty good odds to beat New England in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Whereas in 07, I don't really think they beat the Patriots.
No.
But it was just something about that game, like you said, with it being Favre's last, and even in the moment without knowing that, but you kind of thought that,
mm-hmm.
it just felt, I mean, just remembering, if I think back to a devastating loss, that's the one that instantly pops up, and I remember just being so heartbroken. So
yeah.
I think there's something to be said about the way you felt kind of at the moment. I think that was for sure the most crushing one for me.
What a downer to start the Goldies on. It's like,
yeah.
if they would have been like, here's the Oscars, and the first thing we're going to do is show you the video of all the people who passed away this year. Rather than
kind of just talk about racism for about a half an hour straight, so it wasn't great there either.
Okay, I didn't watch it, so I was too busy preparing for the Goldies, as can be told so far. The fans agreed with us, so the most the barely beating out the NFC Championship game from last year, and quite a few votes for the Super Bowl as well. So the 2007 NFC Championship game is deleted from the history of the Packers. And I guess we'll just pretend that the win over Seattle in the snow was the Super Bowl, I guess?
Yeah, I guess that was a great one, too.
Yeah, that would have been, if only, like, yeah, I don't know. Would it have been better if the Packers would have beaten, like, Seattle or the Giants in that snow fashion and then lost to the Patriots in the Super Bowl, so at least you get the Lambeau send-off? I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's part of the thing with this game is that you knew the potential for something so special was right there.
Yeah.
I mean, you had that comeback against Seattle. It was Favre's last year. You had that incredible game against New York. So if you could somehow cap that off and then Favre likely retires after a Super Bowl, you would think.
Well,
I mean, you have the potential to have the greatest season any of us have ever witnessed, like bar none. So
yeah.
I think that's part of the reason it hurts so much.
And even if you'd have lost to an undefeated team, I think a lot of people would have accepted that. Because then New England would be hands down the greatest team in history. And you throw your hands up and you're like, well,
right.
What could we have done?
Yeah, we could have very well been, you know, a top 15 team all time. We just happened to lose to the Patriots.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's move on. I guess it's an award of some sorts, but the 2007 NFC Championship game has been completely removed from history. I don't even know. What are we talking about? I don't remember that season.
Alrighty. So next award here, if you're following along, it's number 9 on the ballot, is because they deserve it award. So to a Packer you think is worthy of an award for a reason not already covered. So maybe this is a little backwards to do this one now, but I guess it's just the kind of random guy award.
Yeah, so I actually chose Mike McCarthy, and I filled this out pretty close to the playoff game, and in the afterglow of the season, I started to feel a little bit more appreciative of McCarthy and how he was able to rally a pretty ragtag team. And after the season was over, you kind of see how depleted they were on offense and how hard he tried to fix the problem spots that ended the 2014 season. And it cost them in 15, and he's made some bad choices, but I guess I appreciated the intent. And I think people don't really give him his due for how good of a coach he is and how hard he tries to make this team better despite how much success he's had. And I think that takes a lot of guts, and I think it goes unnoticed a lot of times.
Sure, yeah. I guess you'd like to have seen the changes go a little bit better for the team this
yeah.
year, but I agree. I mean, we've been critical of this organization not making any changes. At least he tried, I suppose.
That's kind of where I'm at. Yeah, it definitely didn't work, and you should bear the brunt of it not working. But I think he's still a heck of a coach, and like I think you said on one of the recent podcasts, is that if our bad season is 10-6 with a wild card win, I think I'll take it.
Yeah. All right. And I did this as well like a month ago. I should have been smart like you and wrote my name next to the votes here. I'm trying to remember who I voted for here. I believe, is there a BJ Raji on there?
There is. So that
I
must be
you. That was me. So, I felt like, you know, he came into this. I have been super critical of BJ Raji ever since we've done this podcast, and I have not been a fan. And he came out this year and was a part of a defensive line that was very good, and I think he was so much better than I had expected. You kind of think that a guy that you never really liked, and he's getting older, it's just going to keep getting worse. He's a guy that the Packers wouldn't even commit to, and he was a big part of that defensive line, and I saw him make plays this year that I haven't seen him make since 2010.
Mm-hmm.
So I really, really liked what we saw from him, and hopefully they're able to get him back on the squad for next year. So I just want to kind of, you know, take back some of the things I said, and I thought he had a really great year.
Yeah, that's a good one too, and hopefully he can be on the ballot for future goalies and they figure something out. I'm a little skeptical that they, with the re-signing of LaTroy Guyon, which I guess is the only Packer news that's happened since the offseason started, but we'll see what happens with him, but I think that's a good choice. So I wasn't smart enough to actually tally these write-in answers before, so I'm trying to just quickly look over the list, and there's pretty much a ton of different choices. I see Jeff Janis, Ty Montgomery, because of the win percentage the team had with and without him. He's never lost on the field as a Green Bay Packer, so that's a good one. Lots of votes for the offensive linemen, so let's just give it to the whole offensive line.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Yeah, especially playing through injuries this year, and maybe he wasn't mentioned, but J.C. Treader's a good one because he really kind of stabilized things for the abbreviated playoff run, but played pretty good having not had almost any experience playing.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right, so we'll give it to the whole offensive line. Man, the Green and Gold Forever doesn't have the kind of budget to be sending five goalies out, but maybe we'll just break one into five pieces.
Yeah,
and
that's what we have to do, just shatter it.
Well, and that's how the line played this year, so they should appreciate how the award is mimicking their 2015 season.
Yeah, and if they choose to tape it together once they all get back together, that's up to them. They can do whatever they want.
I think that would be appropriate.
Yeah. All righty. Next one on the ballot here is the one-way ticket award. So which Packers player, coach, or front office member would you like to award a one-way ticket out of town?
Go ahead.
If you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so I had a really hard time with this one between two people, and my choices were either Tim Maste or Randall Cobb.
Ooh.
And I ended up choosing Tim Maste because he's a guy that has to go. He was so bad.
Yeah.
But the reason Cobb was so close is he wasn't as bad on the field as Maste was, and I feel like he can still have some impact going forward. But, I mean, the amount of money you're paying him and how much you saw him struggle as a number one option kind of makes me want to just get him out of here.
Yeah.
But I think taking another weapon away from Rodgers would probably be a mistake. So I'm going to go with Maste because he just has to go.
Yeah, I don't know if I feel as strongly as you do that, you know, that Cobb needs to go. But
he's so bad, Eric.
He was exposed big time this year that he's a role player and he needs other guys to draw folks away from him. And I guess I don't quite understand because he was so dynamic in 2012 when they had a lot of injuries, but I don't know if we ever discussed it on the podcast, but I went back to try to understand why he was so ineffective this year, and I remembered in 12 that Jordy Nelson had a lot of injuries and Greg Jennings had a lot of injuries, but I don't think those two and JerMichael Finley all missed a game at the same time, and so he just seems like a complimentary piece to some other really good pieces, and yeah, it sucks that you're saddled with him for $10 million a year for the next 5 years. I picked Maste also for obvious reasons. The guy just stinks. I feel like I've grown to have more patience than I used to have, and we've been more than patient with this guy, and he's and not only not very good, but he's a complete liability right now. He's got to go.
Yeah, there's no excuse for a punter to be that bad, and I think we've both been patient with him because how good he was at one time, because you kind of hope he regained form, but he's probably the worst punter in the NFL right now.
Yeah, I would agree. So a lot of people agreed with us, but also the winner was actually Devontae Adams.
I'd get on board with that one too.
I feel like it's a little premature, but if you're gonna send Cobb out, you know, you gotta send Adams before you send out Cobb. At least Cobb's done some things. Adams done nothing. And go ahead.
It's pretty rough. Yeah. I think I'd still hold on to Adams before I hold on to Mastay, but I wouldn't mind if either of them were gone.
Yeah, he's like a big Robert Ferguson right now. You can't trust him to do anything. Dom Capers also got a vote, which, of all the years, poor Dom. I think this year he did very well.
Yeah, compared to everybody else we saw struggle, this might have been his best year he's had.
Yeah.
At least in the last 5-6 years.
Well, it wouldn't be a one-way ticket award without a Dom Capers vote, so
that's
I'm okay
true.
With it.
We should just name that after him next year.
Yeah, and his defense did completely collapse in the fourth quarter and overtime of the biggest game of the season, so.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess it's fair.
All right, number seven on the ballot here is the Donald Driver Award. So which player greatly improved or contributed much more than was expected? Sarek, what did you think here?
I actually voted for B.J. Raji in this one.
Yep, makes
and
sense.
It was for all of the reasons that you described. He really played much better. I think he played as well as we hoped he might when he re-signed in the offseason.
Oh man, so I'm trying to think of who I put for this one here. I believe I put Demarius Randle for this one.
I'm guessing that's right, just from the placement of these answers.
Okay, so he obviously didn't improve, but for a guy to come in and to basically step in as the number one for the last part of the year and be a solid number two for the whole year, even as a first round pick, was unexpected for him to play that well.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think a lot of us knew much about him coming out of college, and they landed on that pick big time.
Yeah.
So I think if he doesn't hit, you're in big trouble and your defense is not nearly what it was this year. So for a rookie to come in and do that, I think was extremely critical for this defense. So that's why I picked him.
Yeah, that's a great choice with how healthy he stayed. And man, that was a pick that you saw. And I think if you have watched the Packers enough, you trusted Ted that it might work out. But they needed depth at cornerback, and they picked a safety and a guy who was playing basketball 2 years ago, and they both worked out, which is amazing, and I'm excited to see what especially Demarius Randle can do going forward.
Yeah.
So he got other votes as well. So did B.J. Raji. Jeff Janis had some votes. James Starks got a vote. So it looks like it was pretty equal between Demarius Randle and Jeff Janis. I think we can make the executive decision here, so I'm going to agree and say that Demarius Randle gets the award. Not that Jeff Janis doesn't also get some consideration, but he really didn't contribute at all prior to the playoff game, whereas
right.
Demarius Randle was there all season.
Yep, I agree.
Okay. Now it'll get all easier right. to count because it's all just a percentage that it can show.
Yeah. I mean, for Janis, I mean, from maybe one game to the next, had some of the biggest improvement in the history of the NFL, going from nothing to an extremely big game. But, yeah, over the whole course of the year, I think you got to give it to Randle.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the number six on here is the Are You Bleeping Kidding Me Award for the worst play or moment of the season. So we had a lot of great ones for that this year in 2015, 2016. So the first option is Rodgers misses wide open Randle Cobb in the flat and throws game-ending interception to Thomas Davis against Carolina after a comeback.
That's the iPad Chuck game, or the Surface Chuck game, I guess.
Yep. The Crosby completely shanked game-winning field goal, the one where people couldn't tell if Mastay blocked it or not, right? That was that one
yep.
against Detroit.
Yep.
They fall to Detroit at home for the first time in 24 years. Next one is Packers fail four straight times after getting a first and goal from the 8-yard line against the Bears in that Favre-Bart Starr return game.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth one is Aaron Rodgers passed the James Jones intercepted in the end zone by Xavier Rhodes against Minnesota to win the division, for Minnesota to win the division. And then lastly, Carson Palmer, the 75-yard pass to Larry Fitzgerald to set up the season-ending touchdown in overtime.
Yuck. This is not going to be a fun season to look back on.
No, not at all.
Oh, it was one of the more frustrating experiences I can ever remember. I voted for the Thanksgiving game, and to have first and goal at the 8 against a terrible Bears team, we didn't quite yet know that this offense was just the worst. They had that bad month and that horrible game against Detroit, but it looked like they had righted the ship the week before. There was a ton of optimism. I don't think anybody expected them to lose that game. And then Bart Starr to fight and get back and to look so great, and for Aaron Rodgers to have a moment to make that one of the greatest nights in Packers history, to throw four incompletions at the goal line and lose to the freaking Bears on that night is just something that's going to stick in my craw forever.
Yeah, I picked the same one, and I don't have much to add to that. But again, kind of like with what we talked about with the Giants game in 07, this had the potential to be just a big moment in franchise history, and you kept hearing all week leading up about Bart Starr, and for them to just, I mean, in perfect this season Packer fashion, to just, like, throw up on all of that. Like, it didn't even matter. You lose to a bad team when you have a chance. It, even the game could have ended so special with Rodgers a chance to throw a game-winning touchdown pass with Favre and Starr in attendance, and to just completely blow that. I mean, it's so frustrating.
Yeah.
The Carson Palmer to Fitz one was bad, but you kind of expected them to give that up there at the end. You didn't expect them to beat the Cardinals in the first place, where you expected to beat the Bears for Bart Starr on Thanksgiving, and you blew it.
And that would have been the crowning moment of this season and a ton of seasons forever. It would have been one of the greatest moments ever, and now there's always going to be some taint to it, especially for hardcores like us that are never going to be able to separate that moment from the game. We're going to think of Starr, and it's going to instantly, I'm going to imagine Devontae Adams blocking a pass intended for Randall Cobb in the back of the end zone. I think this has happened in Goldie's history, so Matt and I have the same choice, but we lost to the fan vote, which was for Mason Crosby.
I guess with the name of the question, it was more like an unbelievable type thing as opposed to like a terrible, terrible thing.
That's true.
How did that even happen?
That's true. The losing on Thanksgiving, I think a depression set in rather than anger. And I think the Crosby one, though, it was such a bad play. And then also, I think that was the realization that you'd lost back-to-back games on the road against good teams, so that could maybe be excusable. This was the realization that, holy crap, we have a major problem. And I think so that's why. But it got just a shade over 40% of the vote, and the rest of the ones pretty much finished about the same.
Okay. So it's upset.
Yeah.
I expected that one.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, let's try to get it positive here. So this is the YES Award for Larry McCarron, Best Play Moment of the Year. So we have Clay Matthews intercepting Jay Cutler to preserve the Week 1 win. Jayrone Elliott intercepts Russell Wilson's screen pass in the fourth quarter versus Seattle. Aaron Rodgers' 27-yard touchdown pass to James Jones in the ice game against Minnesota. A-Rodge 61-yard Hail Mary touchdown to Richard Rodgers to beat the Lions. And the Jeff Janis 41-yarder to end the game in overtime against the Cardinals.
Yes. Just for reference about how abysmal this season was, last year we had people email and write on the Facebook page other plays that we couldn't fit on the ballot because last year was so awesome. And this year I was scraping the bottom of the barrel to try to find good plays. I picked the ones that I was the most excited about or that I could actually remember without rewatching all of the games. But not surprisingly, the only two that got votes were the two Hail Marys. I'm trying to remember which one of these I voted for. I voted for the Richard Rodgers one.
Me too.
I was almost hyperventilating after that. I couldn't believe it. I was so pissed. I almost turned it off, and I was just like, well, no, I'll just watch it to the end. And the Jeff Janis one to tie, with how badly this team's performed in overtime in Aaron Rodgers' career, I just still had this sense of doom. Like, I can't believe it happened again, but I don't feel like we're going to win this game. Whereas you actually beat the Lions. You dodged the bullet of being swept by the Lions. It led to a walk-off win. And that is going to be hopefully the only thing that people remember about this season in years to come.
Yeah, I mean, that Richard Rodgers catch was maybe one of the biggest one-play moments of elation I've had in my whole time as a Packer fan, and it's kind of, looking back on it, it's been kind of dampened by how the season turned out. Mm-hmm. But I think that's the clear choice for me, at least. The Janis one was incredible, and I was so mad at that game at that time. Sort of have that felt so good, but then you lose it right away, so you feel good for, what, 5 minutes? Because you lost it in, like, 2 seconds in overtime.
Yeah.
So I guess it was pretty clearly the Rodgers one for me.
Well, we lost again by one vote, the Janis Hail Mary one.
It was a playoff game, so it was a little more amplified. I can kind of get that.
And it happened again. So I think nobody's hit two Hail Marys in one season, I can't imagine. And so maybe that's where it comes from. And in honesty, the thing that was cool about these is that the Richard Rodgers throw was the walk-off, but Rodgers got a chance to step up. He threw it much further, but he kind of had, you could argue that the Lions played it stupid, and he got a chance. Whereas he threw a fadeaway, basically, to Jeff Janis. It was shorter, but it was crazy how the Cardinals basically remembered the Lions game and said, there's no way we let this guy set his feet and throw, and he did it anyways. So from a throw standpoint, believe it or not, that second one might have been more difficult.
Yeah.
But, all right, I guess they can both get one, but since we stole one from Janis before, I guess it's appropriate he gets one here.
Yeah, and that one deserves it, too. I'm not going to argue too hard against that one.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so the best game of the year, another positive category for us here. Week 2, defeating the Seattle Seahawks. Pretty standard win, but it felt good to finally get the W there. Week 3 against the Chiefs, best offensive game of the season. Rodgers with a 5-touchdown pass. If I remember right, 3 to Cobb and pretty much torched that secondary.
Yep.
Week 12 defeats Minnesota, 30-13, dominant performance. Week 13 defeat the Detroit Lions, 27-23, with the comeback from 20-0 and one on the 61-yard Hail Mary. And then the wild card playoff defeating the Redskins, 35-18.
All right. Do you want to go first, or you want me to go first on this one?
Sure. So I picked I'm wondering now that I'm looking at this if I maybe chose the other one or if other people did it because of this. Because for this one, I chose the Detroit Lions game.
Okay.
So I'm wondering, as they do sometimes with these awards, if people saw that already selected that and they're like, I'll give this one to Janis.
That's a good
but
point.
I selected that Detroit Lions Hail Mary game. To me, I mean, the Redskins game was great. But I think that's the one that's the game that stands out for the whole year. So I think I had to pick that one.
Yeah, and I actually picked the Redskins one, and I think it's a playoff win, and it made me feel so much better about this season that they weren't one and done in the playoffs, and they didn't win the division, but they outlasted the Vikings, and so it kind of felt like, coming out of that Redskin game, that you could argue that this season was just kind of a fluke, and it made me feel that 2016 they'll be right back on the train and a Super Bowl contender again. And the Detroit one, as awesome as that ending was, and even though they made the comeback, it was incredibly frustrating to watch.
It was really hard to watch for about three quarters.
Yeah, and so the elation at the end was worth it, but from a game standpoint, I don't look that fondly back on it because it still doesn't feel like we deserve to win it.
Sure.
But nobody cares what I think because that game won in an absolute landslide. The only game that didn't get votes was the Vikings game, which I, again, kind of threw on there as a token vote. So the week 2, week 3, and, Redskins game each got a single vote. The rest all went to the Detroit Lions.
Sure. Makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So on to the major categories, we have defensive, offensive, and team MVP here. So the defensive player of the year options are Demaryius Randle, Mike Daniels, Clay Matthews, Julius Peppers, and Sam Shields. Eric, who'd you pick?
I picked Demaryius Randle because of how many injuries they had in the secondary and for Sam Shields to miss like five games and to really not notice that Demaryius Randle was over there and holding his own against some of the best receivers in the game. He had a pick six. He was really good from the get-go, so I thought it was pretty easy for me.
Yeah, I was between him and Mike Daniels, and I selected Mike Daniels for this. I think he was just an absolute beast this year. And while Demaryius Randle played better than expected, I think if you looked at a dominant force on the field leading that defense, it was Mike Daniels. And I think he stepped up and was clearly the best player out there. I kind of wanted to pick Clay when I was looking at this, but then you're like, man, 66 tackles, only 6.5 sacks. Like, he played the whole year, and you felt like he had some impact. But
yeah.
I don't know. You look at those numbers, and he's kind of like pushed out of the category, if you ask me. So I think Mike Daniels was a force, had a great year, so I had to pick him here.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point. I couldn't believe Julius Peppers had 10.5 sacks.
I couldn't either. I thought he had a bad year, and then he's in the Pro Bowl, and I see the numbers. I was like, wow, that seems kind of strange.
Yeah, I don't remember him getting to the quarterback that often, but so Clay Matthews and Mike Daniels tied each with about 30% of the vote. So I could see that because I still think there's some, you know, Clay was still pretty much the playmaker and he, you know, Daniels was great, but I feel like Clay still forced the action a bit. Julius Peppers probably owes most of those sacks to the disruption that Clay Matthews made. And
yeah.
The defense is still, I think Clay needs to move back outside, but the defense was much better with him playing the whole season in the middle. So, I think that's fair to split it between those two guys.
Yeah. All right. I can do that.
All right.
All right, so Packers Offensive Player of the Year, we have Aaron Rodgers, Randall Cobb, James Starks, Richard Rodgers, or James Jones. And this, I don't know if I want to pick any of these guys.
Ugh, what a disgusting season.
Yeah.
Ugh, I hate this year.
I mean, in years past, we would have been able to select 10 offensive MVPs and nobody from the defense. And it's weird how it's the opposite this year. So we had, you know, three viable defensive player of the year candidates, but I didn't want to pick any of these guys on offense.
Yeah, neither did I. And I think, let me see, I finally was able to figure out which ballot was mine. So I chose James Jones, and I think it was, he quietly had his best yardage season ever, and I know a lot of those touchdowns and stuff were at the beginning of the season, but I shudder to think where this team would have been without him. And he wasn't great at stretching the field, but neither were the other guys, and at least he found a way to get almost 900 receiving yards when everybody else kind of just didn't do anything. So I appreciated that. I hated his hoodie, which is another thing that's disgusting about this season, but I think that he kind of rescued that offense, and sure, it still was in a leaky lifeboat, but at least it didn't go to the bottom of the ocean.
890 was really his best ever receiving yard total?
Yeah, I'm well, now I want to look, but I'm 99% sure it was.
Seems shocking to think that he never got to 1,000. I guess he just caught a bunch of touchdowns, but I would have thought that year that he caught like 13, he would have gotten there.
Yeah, he only had like 700 yards receiving that season.
Jeez.
It was really weird. I can say that real quick. 890. His previous high was actually 2013 with 817. He had 784 in that year that he had 14 touchdown catches.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't even know or care who I picked for this one. I'm looking at it now, I think I picked Rodgers, or Aaron Rodgers, just because, like, whatever. With everybody else, I really couldn't pick any of those other guys, even though he was so bad. But looking on this now, I might pick Richard Rodgers, just because, I mean, he had 58 catches. Like, who would have thought that? And 8 touchdowns, including the Hail Mary. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to pick a guy in Aaron Rodgers who you felt, although he finished with 31 touchdowns and 8 picks and a 92 quarterback rating, which most people would kill for. But you just watched him, and he just looked so off and so bad for most of the year.
Yeah.
It's hard to pick somebody who played so below their normal level.
Yeah.
So I don't care what I picked when I did the ballot. I'm going to pick Richard Rodgers right now, just for whatever.
Okay. Well, Richard Rodgers did get one other vote, so somebody must have thought that too. Although, yeah, his 58 catches, 510 receiving yards is actually really good. But it was like a Jeff Jenkins stat line, where the team would suck and he'd hit into 1,000 double plays, and at the end of the season he'd have 28 home runs and 95 RBIs, and it's like, well, you got all those when it didn't matter, so who cares?
But he stepped up at times when they really needed somebody. He made some big plays.
Yeah, and he, you know, he had the biggest play of the season, so I think that's fair. But Aaron Rodgers won in a landslide, got almost all of the votes, so I think...
Come on, everybody else. Like, this is the year somebody could easily take it, and nobody stepped up.
Yeah. I couldn't vote for Aaron Rodgers. It's not fair, because it's graded on a curve, but I don't expect Richard Rodgers or James Jones to be 1,200-yard receivers. I don't expect Aaron Rodgers to be abysmal for the second half of the season. He had that 92 quarterback rating, and I think at the bye week it was like 130. So he must have been terrible in the second half of the season. And he was. We saw the game.
He was. Yeah. We saw it. We were there for that. Yeah.
So, yeah. Ugh. Begrudgingly, we'll give Aaron Rodgers the award.
Yeah. Don't be too proud of that, Rodgers, when you get it in the mail.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So the 2015 Packers team MVP. So we've got Aaron Rodgers, James Jones, Demaryius Randle, Julius Peppers, and Jordy Nelson.
I voted for Jordy Nelson because it's a snarky kind of pick, but I always knew Jordy was good. I never appreciated how important he was to this offense. And I don't know. His absence really showed how reliant McCarthy's plays are on having a player like him, and how reliant Aaron Rodgers is on having a guy that he can go to when he's in trouble and a guy to stretch the field. Because not only did we see those plays were pretty poorly designed when they didn't have a deep threat to stretch the field, but also we saw how unwilling Aaron Rodgers was to take any kind of chances when he has to throw a lot of contested balls. And that's a very simplistic version of what happened, but I think Jordy really put a shine on this offense that we didn't notice until he was gone.
Yeah, I believe I voted the same as you, and is there two votes for that one? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, good. We'll say I did then. I mean, you can't look at the other four names and really say MVP. I mean, Demaryius Randle played really well. He might be my other selection here, but for this a season to go, I mean, you get to the division round, but honestly, for a season to go that poorly, you just barely squeak into the playoffs after a hot finish and look so bad. it's hard to give it to anybody who played. I mean, I kind of tempted to say just Mike Daniels again because I thought he played so well. But I think that in such a negative type season, you lose a guy who clearly made all the difference in the world. And, you know, hopefully with him back, things turn right back around next year. But for one guy, and for it to be a receiver, to make that big of an impact is quite shocking to see that.
Yeah, and, not quite how it was last time, but with 43% of the vote, Aaron Rodgers is your 2015 Packers team MVP. So we've got outvoted by the fans quite a bit today.
Yeah, we're just bitter, I think. We just didn't want to vote for him. We've seen these for a couple of years now, and he wins everything. So I think this is the year we didn't want to give anything to him.
Well, and I know there are going to be fans listening to this, and some who I know personally, that are going to think that we're being selfish, bitter, spoiled Packer fans. Maybe selfish is not the word. Spoiled is the word. And yes, that's right. But I always use the business analogy that there's different expectations for this team. And yeah, Rodgers had a season that many other quarterbacks would like, but 31 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, and 3,800 passing yards is not that rare anymore. It's not 1995. So that is a pretty common stat line. You see guys like Blake Bortles approaching close to those kind of numbers. And yes, he was probably the best out of a bad situation, but that would be like giving a sales prize out to a guy who had the best year for a company in sales, but it's way less than you've ever had, and the stock price completely collapsed. So it's not worth celebrating when you're used to something else. And I'm certainly glad that Aaron Rodgers is our quarterback, but the way he played this year, partially due to his own play and definitely outside factors that greatly contributed to it, it's certainly not all his fault, but it doesn't feel like it's worth celebrating considering what we've seen from him for every other season of his career. Including a season when they went 6-10, where he had better statistics.
Yeah, and luckily for you, I'm not going to argue you at all on that. I think in seasons past, I have, when you've been very critical of Aaron Rodgers, but after watching this last year, I can't argue against that. I mean, we know what this guy can do, and with the way the team's constructed, he has to carry them, and he has carried them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for a letdown like this last year, and for the entire team to let down when he does. And it just looked so off and inaccurate at times. And just to play so hesitantly, it was so frustrating to watch, and it made this season overall very frustrating to watch and painful to watch every Packer game, mm-hmm. just because of the way he was playing. Like, it's easier to swallow him throwing for 5,000 yards and, you know, 40 touchdowns, and the team goes 8-8 rather than what we saw this year.
I was just going to ask you that. Is it easier to watch this team that went 10-6 and won a playoff game, or to watch Favre in like 99 or in, dare I say, 2005, where he just goes for broke and throws a million interceptions, but, you know, as we saw in 99, he'd have some enormous games, and then he'd have other games where he would just be a complete train wreck. Which is more frustrating, I guess, or which is easier to watch?
I hate that 99 and 2000 Packers team. So yeah. I would say I'd take this year's Packers, but I think that there's a big difference in the two is where 05, the reason we were so bad, and maybe they're more similar than what I'm stating, but they're part of the reason they weren't good is because of the way he was playing, whereas I feel like this year we needed Rodgers to do that at times, and he wasn't willing to do it.
Yeah.
And throws only 8 interceptions. Like, I would have more liked to see him go for that and maybe throw some interceptions and we don't win because of it rather than the team's bad just because you have a million turnovers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that's fair. I think the 05 team had like the 7th
best. We were so decimated with injuries that year too that maybe that's not fair.
But they had a good defense.
Yeah.
I mean, there'd be the game that I always think about for that season is when they were at the Bengals, when the Bengals were really good, and Favre in a 14-7 game threw an interception on 4 straight second half drives.
Yeah.
And we ended up losing by 7. And I think that is probably more frustrating than we saw this year. But I think the flip side of that is there was always the hope in the 99 and 2000 that Favre would have a good day and they'd just light a team up. And so every game you started, you would have that hope that maybe things wouldn't go so badly and he'd light a team up. Whereas this year, you'd always have that hope. And then after the first drive, you'd see Rodgers on 3rd-and-7 stand forever and take a sack or throw it away. And you're just like, oh, great. you know, we're back to where we were last week. They're going to run a bunch of terrible plays that Aaron Rodgers is never going to pull the trigger on and that the other teams are going to be able to stop. And this is just going to be nothing but watching Aaron Rodgers stand in the pocket with the football. And we're going to lose 17-14 and it's going to suck. So neither are very fun to watch, but each has their, I guess, good and bad points. Okay, so with that, man, I'm sure if there's anybody who's a fan of other teams, and by the way, I wanted to say this last time, just so we're not sour grapes, John Bellish has been one of our most loyal fans, and I wanted to say congratulations, and I'm sure he's so happy to have the Denver Broncos be the Super Bowl champ, so I'm happy for him, not particularly a Broncos fan, but I just wanted to say that John's been a longtime fan, and he's always supportive of the show, and he's supportive of the Packers when they go far, so I just wanted to say I'm glad that the Broncos won for his sake.
Yeah, at least somebody who listened had a happy season, I guess.
Yeah, but what I was going to say is I know a few people at work who are Buffalo Bills fans, and there's a friend of mine at work who's a Raiders fan, and I'm sure if they heard us talk so negatively about a 10-6 season with a playoff win, they'd think we were crazy, and we might be, and I'm sure some year not that far in the future we'll be looking back on these days and wishing it could be as good, but... Man, that was almost, it was the most frustrating year that we've had in a long, long time.
Yeah, and I get that. We've talked about this multiple times, and I completely understand. We're lucky to not go 5-11 every single year. But at the same point, you know, you feel like you're wasting the prime of Aaron Rodgers and what this team could be, and you're just not getting over the hump that you want to. You've seen them win a championship, and they just can't get back there, and it's so frustrating. I mean, I would think that any of those other teams, if you had one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time and you're doing what we're doing right now, you would feel that frustration too. So
yeah.
I get it. I'm glad we're not missing the playoffs every single year and not caring because the team's irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a different kind of pain.
Yeah, and all 10-6 seasons are not created equal. So there's a difference between from a wins standpoint and almost if you look at it from the playoffs perspective, the 2003 season was almost identical to this one. They were 11-7, including the playoffs. They lost a heartbreaking overtime game in the playoffs. And they were 6-6 after Thanksgiving, and then won 4 in a row, had an epic entrance into the playoffs, and everybody looks back on that season very fondly. This season, they started 6-0 and lost 6 of their last 10, and then really limped, even in the playoffs, were not all that sharp. And after the Brewers game in 2014, I had made a Facebook post that said, if you'd have told me prior to this season that the Brewers would be above 500 and that they would be in the playoff race until the final 2 weeks of the season, I would have taken it. I wouldn't have known that they would have been in first place for 150 days and have a stranglehold on the number one seed with 6 weeks to play and then have the worst collapse in 20 years. That's not quite the same satisfaction that you would think if you just looked at the raw numbers. And that's kind of how it felt here.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, you can look at the record and say that, but they're all different, and this was definitely going down at the end of the season is so much worse than, you know, finishing strong and maybe even missing out on the playoffs. To just collapse like that's so painful.
Well, they kind of gave us what we've been calling for all these years, where they had started so slowly 3 years in a row, and even McCarthy in the offseason was talking, we got to start fast. We'll find a way to start fast. And they started fast, and then they completely fell apart, which was the inverse of what they had been doing to get hot for the playoffs. So start slow again next year, guys. Come on. Just 0-4, and then just don't lose the rest of the year. That sounds good to me.
Let's do it.
All right. So on to 2016, thankfully. And, man, I can see – I see there's tons of my neighbors right now that are looking through here. They must have known the Goldies are being taped. I can see tears in their eyes as we're wrapping up the Goldies. So it must have been a good show, but they're real sad that another Goldies has come and gone.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of excited to wrap this one up. The last two were a lot of fun, but this one just felt so somber. Sorry for that, everybody listening.
Yeah, we can only work with the source material, so it's just one of those years where like all the Oscars are sad movies, which is pretty much every year ever, right? So yeah, it is a sad year for the Goldies, but onward and upward. I'm sure 2016 will be the best. Okay, so that finally puts a wrap on the 2015 Packers season, none too soon in my opinion, and it's leap day, and we're still talking about this awful season, so from this day forward, we'll talk about all good things, hopefully, that are going to come for the Packers in 2016, and I don't know. I felt like I had something that I wanted to ask you about earlier this morning, and I didn't write it down, so now I definitely can't remember that.
Well, that's a good teaser for the next show. Everybody just wait for a few weeks until we do another show, and just wait to see what Eric had to ask me.
I think that's the best way to end this. So, you know, if you have any guesses on what you think I might have wanted to ask Matt, you could
be anything in the world.
Anything in the world. Yeah. Put it on the Facebook page, and then maybe if it wasn't it, then Matt can comment on that as well. Okay, well, once again, I just want to thank everybody for the great support we had this season. I want to thank KZ Radio for allowing me to be on the air again. That was a great time. And if you want to interact with us, we're always looking for stuff to talk about during the off season. So we'll have, as you've come to expect if you're a longtime fan of this show, we don't know when the next show is going to be. Whenever we kind of have something that we want to talk about, we'll come on here. So it'll probably be at least a couple, 2-3 weeks until the next show. But if you have anything you want us to talk about, share it on the Facebook page, Green and Gold Forever Podcast on Facebook. You can tweet it at us, at Green Gold Forever. That's the number 4. You can also follow us on there. I'm always keeping that active. And as we're getting close to the NCAA men's basketball tournament, the Brewers are going to be starting spring training pretty soon. The Bucks are going to continue to collapse and not make the playoffs. So I'm sure I'll have a lot to talk about on there. So hit us up there. Also, go to greengoldforever.podbean.com for our complete archives. And Matt, I actually discovered that Podbean has an app. And if you follow our podcast on the iTunes app, which is a fantastic app, it's probably the best one I've ever found for podcasting, they only carry like our last 10 shows. And I have looked, I can't quite figure out the settings as to why they don't carry more than that. But the Podbean app has all of our shows, all the way back to the beginning. So if you want to listen to a show from a game 4 years ago, it's all on there and they never go away. So I would suggest everybody to download the Podbean app and follow Green and Gold Forever. That sounds smart to me, huh?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so go there. So there's tons of ways you can keep in contact with us. But once again, just a great support, and we're very appreciative that everybody wants to come on here on Mondays and actually hear what we have to say. So appreciate it, guys. All right, so 2015's over. I'm ready for it to be done. How about you, Matt?
Yeah, close it up.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Take care, and we'll see you down the road. Take care, everyone.